my last evening here in New Bedjadam, and tomorrow I'll be heading to Radadesh for our European leaders meeting on Sunday and Monday. On Tuesday we'll have the European GBC meetings, and on Wednesday I'll fly back again to Budapest, and Thursday traveling to Romania until the following Monday, and then the following Tuesday off to Bombay, and we'll be having a leadership training meeting, leadership training seminar I'll be taking, and thereafter follows our international GBC meetings, our sort of mid-year GBC meetings, something which was inaugurated a few years back, so we not only have the GBC meetings during my Purim festival time at Gaur Purnima, before Gaur Purnima, but we have this another time as well, and these are meant to be really strategic planning to develop proactive strategy and vision for Krishna consciousness in the future, and that the GBC not only just deal with resolutions, pressing issues, but get an overall perspective of what the society needs in order to make it the dynamic, thriving, expansive movement that Srila Prabhupada envisaged that it would be, which gives the spiritual vision for people at large on where society has gone wrong and where it should be going, and how it can be going to where it should be going, which is towards Krishna. This evening, Tribhanga Prabhu, our saxophone player, asked this question about how is it that devotees' relatives become liberated even when they're not asking for liberation, just by dint of the fact that they're connected with a devotee. Such people don't believe in Krishna, don't believe in Krishna consciousness. They have long-term plans for how to enjoy the material world. So he's wondering, how is it that Krishna liberates such people? And the answer developed to an assessment and appreciation of Krishna's gratefulness. One of the qualities that we read about Lord Krishna in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is that Krishna is very grateful. He's very grateful for any service that a devotee renders. He never forgets that service, and he reciprocates many times over in quantity and even in quality in terms of the service that he's received. And that's such a wonderful thing, because in reality Krishna doesn't need anyone, he doesn't need anything. He's Atmarama. He's fully self-satisfied, Atpakama. All of his desires are fulfilled by himself. Sometimes we have this idea of doing some great service for Krishna, but it's really such a relative consideration, what's great and what's little. Hanumanji was throwing mountains into the ocean, and the little squirrel or spider, just little rocks. To Lord Ramachandra, it didn't make any difference, because if Lord Ramachandra desired, then the whole way between South India and Lanka could just, at a drop of a hat, by his own will, be paved with mountains, be paved with a gold road, whatever he wanted, because sattva sankalpa, whatever he desires, manifests. So you can't say Hanumanji is doing great service, the squirrel is doing little service. It's so relative by comparison to Krishna. As we were walking over here, we were just looking out at the sky, and it's so vast. There's so many stars. You all know it's impossible to count the number of stars there are out there. And then Krishna says, "Atavava hunaitena kim gyati babatu arjuna." But what's the use of all of this? It's an insignificant portion of my potencies. Krishna's so great, so powerful, so awesome. Haridas Thakur said, even if one universe becomes empty, Krishna doesn't even notice it. It won't even miss it. It makes no difference to his potencies, which themselves are unlimited. One universe, which is everything to us, one planet is everything to us, what to speak of the universe if we don't even know. And for Krishna, it doesn't make any difference. So when Krishna is so great, then what's the question of something being big or small? But even though Krishna is so great, no one can compete with him. No one can really say that they're doing something that increases his glory, increases his greatness, increases his wonder. But still, that unlimitedly powerful and extraordinary person, when it comes to love and loving service, he comes under the control of his friends, of his girlfriends, of his mother, of his father, of his servants, because love is so great that love brings under control this extraordinary personality, because it's something for which he requires others. Everything else he can fulfill himself, but to be loved he needs others to love him. And he is not only purchased by the eternally liberated souls who show him unlimited love, but even someone who's trying to love Krishna, Krishna becomes purchased by that person. And even though our efforts to love Krishna are incomplete, and our efforts at service are also incomplete, even our efforts at sadhana are also incomplete, but because we're trying to love Krishna, Krishna also loves us, just like a father. When a child is trying to assist him in some way, even though actually what he does is of very little consequence, on the relationship of love, it becomes greatly appreciated. When a child wants to crawl on the lap of his father, he can't get up, but the father lifts him up. Why? Out of love. So Krishna is such a grateful person. He says, "Svapamapyasya dharmasya trayati mahato bhayat." You do a little thing, and you'll receive the greatest benefit. You'll become guaranteed a human form of life. And Krishna's gratefulness extends. The benefits of that gratefulness extends not only to the devotee who tries to render some devotional service, what to speak of those who become perfect in devotional service, but anyone who's connected with that devotee, they also become benefited. Krishna takes the opportunity to give blessings to others on the basis of some type of, albeit perhaps just familial, seminal relationship with a Vaishnava, to emphasize the fact that any type of connection, any way that someone is connected with a Vaishnava, that person is eternally benefited. That person is glorious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore said in different instances, in the case of Srivast Thakur, he said, even a dog in the house of Srivast Thakur is worshipable by me. Why is a dog worshipable? Because he lives in the house of Srivast Thakur, he sees a great devotee like Srivast Thakur, he eats the remnants of the food of Srivast Thakur, he lays in the dust that Srivast Thakur walked in. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considers that even such a fallen, lowly creature as that becomes the object of the Lord's mercy. Krishna is such a wonderful person. He is so kind, he's so magnanimous, he's so merciful. Therefore, yes, 14 generations forward, back, they all become, or 21, they all become liberated just by coming in contact with a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada told one of his disciples' parents, "She will liberate you." It's not usually what parents are thinking about, but thinking about it or not, they get that benefit. So if Vaishnavas are appreciated so much by Krishna, how much we should also appreciate Vaishnavas. Therefore, as we were singing last night, Satsanga, we should appreciate the Sangha of Vaishnavas, because by it we can cross over the ocean of material existence. And anyone who Vaishnavas come in contact with, whether directly or by accident, they become benefited, they become liberated, such as the greatness of Vaishnavas, for they are servants of the greatest person, the most magnanimous person, the most grateful person, Lord Krishna.